Israel, Amen, Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Most Precious Gift, was written by Peter Barry.
Outside, a storm was building. A night of wind and darkness seemed to press against the lighted windows of the synagogue as if resolved to force its way inside in a black, unreasoning rush of chaos.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So speaks the voice of Leviticus, yielding us the text of tonight's sermon.
Never had I come to services with a greater inner need. But the words of the rabbi as he developed his theme filled me with more uneasiness than comfort. Somehow I heard them as if they were meant for me alone.
But are we to feel that the scripture requires that our neighbor's wrongdoing go unrebuked and be tolerated by us with indiscriminate sentimentality? No. It was the great rabbi Maimonides himself who assured us that we are not required to seek in vain for some unnatural means of loving evil, simply because it is our neighbor's. Mercy on sinners, he has said, is cruelty to all other creatures. And the loss sustained is as much ours as it is the sinner's. For the love of one's neighbor is fruitful with many blessings, and the capacity for loving him is the most precious gift this life on earth affords.
I felt the palms of my hands turn hot and moist. The most precious gift. Was I losing it? Was it slipping away from me with a kind of nightmarish relentlessness? The rabbi's voice came dimly through my thoughts as I sat remembering. It seemed I'd always had the gift, always as a natural and unquestioned part of me. Until that day. Until 4 o'clock, I recalled, it had been perfectly commonplace, uneventful, empty, and in no wise different from the general run of the days of my life. Then, just as the clock struck 4, Dr. Michaels emerged from Van Elsa's room and announced that her condition was improving. I was already holding the front door open for him when, midway on the stairs, he halted. He looked down at me, and then suddenly said it.
You know, don't you, that I'm in love with you?
What did you say?
I said, I'm in love with you.
With me?
Does it really come as such a surprise?
Dr. Michael...
Won't you, Sir David?
David?
Haven't you anything else to say?
What else could I say?
You could say you're very happy. On the other hand, you could say you're very sorry, and... then again, you might even kiss me, Sonia.
Sonia!
It's Aunt Elsa.
Sonia!
I'm coming.
Please.
She doesn't like to be kept waiting.
I don't think anybody really enjoys it.
I don't like to keep her waiting.
I'm sorry.
It's quite all right.
Sonia!
Let me pass, please.
What about tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night?
The theater.
Theater?
Sonia!
How can I leave Aunt Elsa alone?
Why can't you?
She's ill. You know better than anyone how ill she is.
And I know better than anyone that there couldn't be any danger in her spending the evening reading a good book. I'll say it's a date.
I wish you wouldn't urge me.
Say it.
No.
I'm sorry. I've made a nuisance of myself,
no,
I'm afraid.
No, please, it isn't that.
I've obviously presumed too far.
No, it isn't that at all. I just can't make a date without talking it over with Aunt Elsa.
Okay, talk it over then. I'll call back later.
If you like.
Say around 9.
Around 9, David. Oh, David.
Sonia!
Before he'd closed the door, I knew it. And I knew that I'd known it all along. Beneath the level of my grief and my tedium, I was hopelessly in love with him. And I had an impulse to fling the door open and tell him that I'd go with him tomorrow night or any night to the theater or the ends of the earth. I'd taken a step forward, my hand was on the knob. And then Aunt Elsa's voice brought me sharply back to reality.
Sonia!
When I entered her room, she was lying propped up on her elbows. And the strained look in her anxious, weary eyes wrenched at my heart. It made matters worse that she apologized for calling me, and as I poured her medicine, I blushed with shame for myself and my selfishness.
I heard the doctor's car drive off only a moment ago.
Yes, I know.
You had a talk?
Yes.
What about?
Time for your medicine now.
Oh, Sonia.
Open wide. Here we are.
I don't know which is worse, the sickness or the cure.
Well, whichever, you're getting much better. Really, he said you were.
I'm glad he thinks so.
Why, what do you mean?
Nothing.
Don't you think you are?
Does it matter what I think?
Aunt Elsa.
I don't want you to worry about me, child. I don't want anybody ever to worry about
but
me.
But I do worry about you, and so does David.
David?
Dr. Michaels.
Oh. Sonia.
Yes?
How long has it been, David, between you and him?
10 minutes or so.
I see.
He's asked me to go to the theater tomorrow night.
How nice of him. He realizes, of course, how hard it is for a young girl to spend half her life teaching children and the other half tied to a bedridden old woman.
Aunt Elsa, that's not true.
Of course it is. You needn't try to spare my feelings.
I'm not sparing your feelings. He asked me because he's in love with me.
He is?
Yes.
He said so? Naturally, you told him you'd go.
I told him I'd ask you first.
Well, you don't suppose I'd let you miss a chance like this? When do you have to give your answer?
He's calling back at 9.
Well, then you tell him I insist you go.
Oh, Aunt Elsa.
You do want to go, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Your heart's quite set on it, isn't it?
But I wouldn't desert you if you needed me.
Oh, you're not to consider me. You're not to give me a thought.
Oh, you're sweet. You're very sweet.
I'm a realist, I hope. I face facts.
I'll be back soon.
Well, where are you going?
Make your dinner.
Sonia?
Yes?
Before you go, I think you'd better face a few facts.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, this situation obviously must end.
What situation?
My being here on your hands. Can't go on any longer, dear.
But I wanted to go on.
Well, then I don't. It's begun. A man has entered your life. You'll be seeing more and more of him. And I'll be lying here alone, helpless and old, listening to the clock tick. That's not for me, my dear.
Aunt Elsa,
I'm leaving.
You can't. There's no place for you to go.
Oh, there are hospitals. There are hospitals, Sonia. And I'm not entirely without money.
But I couldn't stand that. I couldn't stand that. I couldn't leave you all alone in a hospital.
Why not?
You know why not.
You left your father all alone in one.
Aunt Elsa.
You left him there to die.
Aunt Elsa.
I say you left him there to die.
Hello?
Sonia?
Yes?
What's the matter?
Nothing, David.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Well, what about tomorrow night?
David, I can't go.
I see.
And I have to hang up now.
Just a second.
Please let me.
Aunt Elsa wants no competition.
I just can't go into it right now.
Maybe you don't want to see me.
No, I do. You can't know how much.
Then isn't that the most important consideration?
No.
No?
I have a more important consideration, David.
What?
Aunt Elsa's comfort and happiness.
Sonia, don't you deserve a little something for yourself?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't deserve to live. He rang back again and again. And again and again, I managed not to answer. I deserved what I was feeling, I told myself, the ache and the emptiness. My life was dedicated to others, to Aunt Elsa, to the school, and I must never again permit myself to dream of such things as David and happiness. Fiercely, I flung myself into my work. Here were my neighbor's children, my responsibilities to shape and form for the great world of tomorrow. Surely, in my love for them, I thought I can lose my selfish sorrows. But somehow...
I would have known the lesson if it hadn't been for the picnic, Miss Sonia.
The picnic?
Yes'm. My mom said to tell you Pop got off at noon yesterday, and she thought, for one day, the fresh air was better for me.
She told you to tell me that?
Yes.
Then you tell her that when I make an assignment, the best thing for you is to do it. Do you understand me?
Yes.
And you can also tell her that I kept you after school to make sure you got around to your studies. That will do. The next person to laugh will be sent to the principal's office. Is that perfectly clear? Now then, we'll get on with it. There was an impatience in me such as I'd never known before. A kind of erratic anger that grew despite my efforts to control it. And poor Aunt Elsa, fretful and restless after the lonely days, did little to help matters.
Where have you been?
The children get more difficult every day. I was so worried about being late to give you your medicine.
The children? Imagine anyone trumping up a story to delude a helpless old woman like me.
To delude you? What do you mean?
I mean you've been seeing Dr. Michaels.
Aunt Elsa.
Oh, nothing reprehensible, of course. Just romantic little meetings on the outside to talk and hold hands.
That's not true.
Why? Why isn't it true, Sonia?
Because there's you to take care of. And he'd demand more time than I've got to spare.
Is that really the reason?
Yes.
You're really so sweet to me, dear. If you'd been half so sweet to your father, we might still have him with us, mightn't we?
I shudder yet to remember that sudden seizure of rage, like a geyser surging up from some loathsome secret inner well of hatred. That night I lay in bed, stiff and stunned with guilt, thunderstruck that I could have felt such an emotion toward poor, sweet, childlike Aunt Elsa. I slept badly that night and night after night thereafter. But with the morning, my irritation would return, and I'd drag myself to school heavy with a sense of failure and burdened with an exhausting anger that I could neither name or dispel. Then one Friday afternoon, the principal asked to see me in her office.
I'm sorry to say this, Sonia, but a mother who visited your class recently came to me with a very disturbing observation.
Observation?
She said that you were obviously a capable teacher, but she felt that possibly you were losing your capacity for loving the children.
I tried to smile as if I were amused at the absurdity of the notion, but... I wasn't, and a foreboding chill followed me from the room. And And so I sat in synagogue with the threatening night outside, lost in my own thoughts. When the congregation got to its feet, I looked up with surprise, realizing services were over. Unsteadily, I rose and walked out into the darkness. I remember walking slowly through the windy night, hearing nothing, seeing nothing, until...
Sonia!
Oh, David.
Can we go somewhere and talk?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't think it's good for either one of us.
What?
To start thinking of each other again.
Sonia, look at me.
Please, I'd rather not.
Sonia.
Please.
The last time I talked to you, you told me that you didn't deserve to live. What did you mean by that?
I have to be getting home.
What did you mean?
David, it's a long story.
And an important one. Tell me.
It's about my father.
What about him?
He wanted me to stay home and study for my teacher's degree here in town.
Yes.
David, I don't like to remember.
I don't think you ever forget.
I refused him. I told him I wouldn't do it. And I went away.
So? So what?
He took sick, that's what. He pined away for me, Aunt Elsa says.
Does she know?
Anyway, I got a telegram that he was critically ill in the hospital, and before I could get back, he died. He died alone there, calling my name.
And that's why you don't deserve to live.
I've wished myself dead 1,000 times.
Where was your Aunt Elsa then?
She was very sick, too. She couldn't go to him.
But she managed to know that he died calling your name.
The nurses told her.
And she's made the very utmost of it.
Utmost? What do you mean?
Forget it. I want to ask you a question, Sonia.
About my father?
About you.
Well?
Will you marry me? Will you, Sonia?
How can I say yes or no?
Would you like to be my wife?
I think so. I know I would.
So then?
I can't do a thing just because I'd like to.
Why not, dear? Aren't you a person?
I have another person to consider.
Sonia.
There's Aunt Elsa, David. She must always come first.
Why must she?
Because she's old and she's sick.
She's not so old and she's not sick at all anymore. That's an official
statement. She needs a home.
She'll have a home with us.
Please, David. What? If she said yes, then I would.
And otherwise?
David, you must understand. My life is hers. She's the only way I have of making amends.
Amends?
For what I did to my father. I stood for a moment looking into his eyes for understanding. Then I tore myself from his gaze and hurried away. The storm was very near now, and the whole night was tense with expectancy. And I was like the night, breathless with an inward brewing turmoil, anguished, confused, but knowing that David's proposal was a new and sustaining reef under every fear and doubt and misgiving. As I opened the front door, an unreasonable hope bloomed inside of me. Perhaps somehow all would go well. Perhaps Aunt Elsa would be glad for me and smile and wish me luck. Never had my heart pounded higher than as I ran up the stairs to her room. She sat propped in bed as I announced the news, and her voice when she spoke was somewhere between a rasp and a whimper.
He proposed to you?
Yes.
Did he then? Did he then?
Oh, Aunt Elsa, you're going to live with us. You'll have your own room, your own bath, and be part of our lives.
I see. Thank you for your kindness, my dear. But I'm part of a life already. I'm part of my own life. And if it killed me, I'd never be part of anyone else's.
Please, I only meant that you
I know what you mean. You meant to let me down easy. I haven't died soon enough to suit your plans. And I'm sorry.
Where are you going?
To make a reservation for
my... Reservation?
At the hospital.
No. No, you mustn't, Aunt Elsa. Please, listen to me. Listen to me, please.
I've heard enough.
Aunt Elsa, I won't marry him. I won't. I won't.
No. No? Is that a promise, Sonia? I said, is that a promise?
Answer me. But I couldn't answer her. The seizure of rage that I felt before had suddenly risen up again out of the depths of my being. I stood gaping and dumbstruck. I clutched the door to keep from reeling, and through the roaring turmoil, her voice came thin and distant.
Sonia! Sonia! What's the matter with you? Sonia!
With a suffocating pang of terror, I had turned and fled from the house, desperate to escape what I felt inside of me. Running without direction, I tore through the streets, hearing the thunder that broke above me like a sound in a dream. And then as the rain came in a drenching downpour, I halted. Someone had spoken my name out of the darkness.
Sonia.
Dazed, I looked around me. I was in front of the synagogue. And in the dim rays of the streetlight, I saw the rabbi standing in the doorway, hat in hand, smiling at me, quizzically.
Come inside, Sonia.
No.
Come inside.
He led me into his study and sat across the desk from me, waiting for me to speak. Then...
What is it, my dear?
I've just had the most terrible experience of my life.
Yes.
There was a quarrel with Aunt Elsa.
Are you so distressed because you had a quarrel with your aunt?
No. No, I'm distressed because I wish she were dead.
Oh.
She asked me to promise not to marry Dr. Michael. She was going to leave if I didn't, and suddenly I found myself wishing she were dead at my feet. How could I have done it? How could I have felt such a thing about a living person?
Sonia. You've been feeling such a thing about another living person for a long while now.
Another person? Who?
Yourself. You can't very well deny it. You told Dr. Michaels as much tonight. I've wished myself dead 1,000 times, you said.
David was here?
Mm-hmm. He left just a moment ago.
He told you about me?
Everything. Out of his love of you, he told me. Sonia, sit down and let me try to help him.
Nothing can help me. Don't you realize what this means?
What does it mean?
It means that I've lost the last shred of my capacity to love. I've lost what you yourself tonight called the most precious gift.
No, I doubt that, my dear.
But
I think we might say instead that you've been careless with your capacity for love.
Careless?
My poor child. Since we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves, we must take care to love ourselves sufficiently, or else we must fall short in obeying the commandment. Pity the neighbor who was loved as little as Sonia has loved Sonia.
Can I love myself?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can, Sonia, and you must. In the Talmud it is written that there first arose within God's mind the plan of creating the world with the attribute of justice alone. And then he saw that thus the world could not endure, and he added mercy. If the world cannot endure without it, my daughter, how can you?
Mercy. It's been a long time since there's been room in me for such a thing.
Because you were filled with self-hate. And that hate welled up tonight, and the inevitable happened.
The inevitable?
You hated your neighbor. As you hate yourself. Love yourself wisely, Sonia, and you will stoop to no evil, great or small, out of solicitude for your own self-respect and peace of mind. Love thrives on love, and it shall no more breed from hate than life shall breed from death. Understand it, Sonia, for your sake and David's. Love yourself a little, and a miracle will happen. The most precious gift will be yours again. And you will love God to the full, along with all the other creatures of this loving world of his.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage
to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis J. Glickman of New York, a member of the World Brotherhood Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Glickman.
How frequently, in the course of living, we take the familiar things for granted. Very often, the meanings of ideas or phrases become so familiar to us that we miss their real depth. Take, for example, the words, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." From the book of Leviticus, let us note the use of the words, "as thyself." The great practical wisdom, which is the real depth of these words. We are not asked to love our neighbor more than ourselves, for in so doing, we would only find ourselves hating rather than loving. If we know the best in ourselves and respect that best, a great step forward is taken in loving our fellow man. Self-respect must precede respect for others. If it does not, we would soon find ourselves in somewhat the same position as did the young lady in our program today. We can be truest to others by being true to ourselves first. This concept can be of value to us as individuals, as members of families and groups. It can also be applied in a broader sense to our nation as a whole. America, if true to itself, can thus be the best teacher to neighboring nations. All of us believe heartily in the basic concepts of our democracy, those of freedom, justice, and equality for all. We wish to share them with other nations. However, it is quite clear that we must practice these principles each day before we can develop self-respect as a nation and devotion to those ideals so that we can pass them on to others. How do we do this? Having integrity and self-understanding as a nation, we can even love those who have not yet achieved the ideals of democracy. Through this love and devotion to our fellow man throughout the world, we can bring them to the point of realizing the goals of human freedom and dignity on every corner of the earth.
Thank you, Mr. Glickman. Our Eternal Light drama today was written by Peter Berry. David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed by Morris Pomorski and conducted by Roy Shield. Featured in the cast were Terry Keane, Bert Cowlin, Beatrice Pons, Ann Seymour, Kerry Joles, and Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.